I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what it means to seek and serve Christ in all people. From my perspective or from what happened with me. So I want to go way back to the Episcopal Church. I was actually baptized an Episcopal child in an Episcopal church, and I was confirmed in the Diocese of Ohio when I was 20 years old. And I would like to announce that I didn't have half the formation you guys get in this class. There just wasn't. He had us divide David into two groups, the pass the papoose David and the David that, you know, slew Goliath, and then we talked about stuff like that, but we never talked about the real presence. We never talked about the different ways that you can look at what your walk would be. Nobody ever said to me I had to serve. Okay? So, I was in Ohio, got confirmed, went to communion in a time when communion wasn't even available every Sunday. We had morning prayer every week. And then at the church that I went to in Columbus, if you wanted Eucharist, and you have to understand that for me the Episcopal Church was the default, because if I wanted to be Roman Catholic. But my father said to me, he was a staunch Presbyterian Lutheran, that if I became Roman Catholic, he would not come to my wedding, he would not come to my children's baptisms, and if I predeceased him, he would not come to my funeral. And I believed him. So I began to seek a church where I could worship in a Catholic way, because we are part of the Holy Catholic Church, and I'm an Anglo-Catholic. So the church that I was in Columbus was fairly low church, and so what we did was we had morning prayer, and then on the final hymn, the people who didn't want communion stood up and left. Mm-hmm. And those who did want communion moved down front. And then we had the Eucharist. So we did that every Sunday. When I was in Montana, we had communion once a month, and then my ex-husband and I, Steve, moved to Colorado, where, I don't know if any of you know him, but Father Charlie Keene eventually was the priest at our church in Colorado. Charlie and I go way back. Now, I knew you were supposed to work. Again, my father, the Presbo Lutheran, had said to me, it's not about faith. If you have faith, you will work. So work. So I said, fine, I'll work. I did Bible school. I did Sunday school. I did bake sales. I decorated cakes. I mean, I worked. The other thing, other message I got from my parents was, and you're supposed to complain about it. This isn't supposed to be us. If you're happy about it, you're doing something wrong. So,
suffer.
Yes, yeah, yes. Suffer. It needed to be a sacrifice. So God delivered me, and he sent me on Curcio. And the first night that I was on Curcio, I went to bed, and there's a grand silence during Curcio. I went there. There was a cookie on my pillow. And I thought, darn, I've been baking cookies. I was a mother of four small children. Nobody's ever given me a cookie before since I've been an adult. But somebody took time and served me by baking that cookie. And in the course of the weekend, there were other surprises that people had invested themselves, including the team, who paid a very large sum to participate. They bought their own way and gave hours and hours of time to present me with this short course in Christianity that helped me move into a new place in my faith walk. So I came back a different person. And I began to seek and serve Christ and others, although we didn't have good catechesis on what your baptismal vows mean. We didn't. It wasn't until I got to Texas and started being an Episcopalian that I found out all of this wonderful stuff that surrounded my baptismal vows. So it must be 12 years ago now, Mark and I came to this church. Sometime privately asked me what I was doing for the 20 years before that, and I'll tell you, but that's not a story for tonight. And so I went to my first rally day. I'm wandering around the tables, and there's somebody standing there wearing black and white, and he's saying, we need lay Eucharistic ministers. And I thought, that I could do that. So I signed up. Two of us signed up, just two. Gordon trained us. He forgot. We were at the church an hour before he got there because he forgot he was coming to train us to be a Eucharist minister. And he sort of led us through it, and then we learned it by osmosis. But the first Sunday that I was a Eucharistic minister, I had no idea. It knocked my feet out from under me. It was the most... It was the most spiritual high I'd ever had. When I took the bread from a child's hands and intincted it and put it in their mouth or gave the child the cup, I burst into tears. Because I was getting to share this body and blood of Jesus. I was getting to handle it. I was getting to feed other people. And it was just this enormous joy. And suddenly I found out, I don't have to be miserable about doing this. I can be joyous. So I did that for about a year, and come another rally day, and I was recruited as a Eucharistic visitor. There's a brief training, and then you do some ride-alongs. By the way, this is a public service announcement. I need Eucharistic visitors, and anybody who's interested, see me later, because I would love to have you. But anyway, moving on. I rode along, and it was a wonderful thing. And in those days, we actually had enough Eucharistic visitors. You could go out in pairs. So my husband and I, we only went out separately when they were short, and then we took two cars and we each went. But usually we went together in pairs. The Horans, Alan and Mary Ellen, took us out on one of our ride-alongs. And I did that for a while. And then there was an even greater sense of getting to share the body and blood, because we actually did a little service with it, and we had it. It looks like a doll kit. We have a little tiny cup and a little tiny paten, and you do the service with people who couldn't get to church, and you are extending the communion of the body of Christ out to people who can't get it. You are embracing them by the congregation. You are there, the arms of the congregation, saying, you're still part of us and you're valuable, and we appreciate you, and we can't do this without you. So did that for a couple of years. And then I felt I was being called into hospital chaplaincy. I'd been at a hospital volunteer. And so I talked to some people and I said, you have to be ordained to be a hospital chaplain. And I thought, I'm not called to be the priest. Maybe I could be a deacon. I've heard about deacons. I had never met a deacon up until this point in time. I had not a clue what deacons did. But I thought, I bet I could be a deacon, and I don't think it's going to be as hard as being a priest to get through the process. So,
sorry about that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, dear. Was I misinformed? So anyway, I went down to the, I went to JD, and I said, I think I'd like to be a deacon. And he said, sure, why not? So, and then he sent me to see the bishop. Well, I didn't get to see the bishop. I saw Dean Michelle. Yeah, he was Dean Michelle then. He was Canon Michelle then. So Canon Michelle, I visited with the archdeacon. I didn't even know diocese had archdeacons, but the archdeacon is kind of the coordinator for all the deacons in the diocese. Right now it's Rosemary Try at St. Luke's. At that time it was Deacon Diana Luck. And talked to them, and Nancy Powers said to me, is that the only reason you want to be a deacon? And I thought, from her phrasing it, you know what? Yes would be the wrong answer here. So I said, oh, no, there are other thoughts. So then they put me in classes, and they started forming me. And it took 6 years. The whole process took me 6 years. It took me multiple meetings with people asking me terribly intrusive questions. I wrote that many essays. Why did you get divorced? What did you learn from your divorce? What are you going to bring from your divorce? It was like standing up and doing a striptease in front of the whole committee. By the time, and I said to somebody, does anybody read this? And they said, oh, yes, we were in copies, and everybody reads. I thought, oh, Lord. So, but what happened to me at the very beginning of the process was Easter Vigil. By this time, I knew Liz really well. She was coming down the aisle, and she was chanting, the light of Christ. And all of a sudden, I was completely covered with this cloak of joy. And I thought, I'm going to get to do that. I'm going to get to do that. And that was almost like, I felt like the Lord said to me, okay, I got your attention with the whole hospital chaplain thing. Because eventually I came to the place that I could say, if I'm never a hospital chaplain, that's okay. Send me where you need me. I got your attention with the hospital chaplain thing. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to serve my people. The diaconate is a ministry of serving. The first deacons, there were like seven of them. They didn't call them deacons, but we assume that's what they were. And they were appointed because the Greek widows in the early church, one of the reasons, they were not getting fed. And then they sent four deacons with Greek names to minister to these Greek widows. The Hebrew-speaking widows could go to the temple. They understood what was being said. They spoke Hebrew. And the early church assembled at the temple. They didn't quit going to temple just because they became Christians. They were Jewish, and they went to the temple and studied and prayed and whatever. But the Greek-speaking ladies, they couldn't understand what was going on at temple, and the Greeks kind of kept their women sort of cloistered. So they sent these Greek deacons to feed the Greek widows. They were teaching them Bible. The first deacons were not table waiters, which is what you will hear. Well, the first deacons waited on table. No, they went out and carried offerings from Jerusalem to other places. They carried letters. They did all sorts of things. So the deacon means service. It means servant. And as we studied what the deacons were to do, we actually had a class, which I never could remember the name of, so I kept calling it What Deacons Do. It was a class that said, here's what you do. We went and learned to pour water. You know why? Because you have to pour the water at baptism at a special speed so that you arrive at the end of the text as the water runs out. And there are pictures of me on Facebook with a pitcher pouring water. We learned to pour water. We learned to, we all became an altar guild. Our little group was shepherded into being an altar guild because we had to know how to set up the altar. We learned to be sub-deacons at the cathedral, and we did sub-diaconal work. We had to develop a program, and my program here was a complete and utter failure. They said to me, that's really okay, you learned how not to do it. I found out that you cannot send, this was my big learning, you cannot send multiple items in a single email, because people read the first item and they close the email. And I would have three bullet points. No, they never got to number two. So that was a big learning for me. If they didn't get one email from me, they got four. But I learned that it was okay if it didn't work, and why didn't it work, and what I could learn from that. And then they sent me away. I wasn't ordained yet. They sent me to the Church of the Epiphany in Richardson, because they figure your own people love you because they sort of let you get to this point without killing you. And so they sent me to Richardson to see if I could get along there without irritating people too badly. So I was at the Epiphany when J.D. left. And I was supposed to come back. And the bishop and Father Jilton and I and Father Bill consulted together. And we decided to leave me in Richardson because there wasn't anybody here, and I needed a shepherd. And Bill was willing to walk me through the rest of the process. So I stayed there, and then when I was ordained, I had three people from Transfiguration and three people from Epiphany on my ordination team, the people who actually signed my document. There were three from each. Liz was one of them. So anyway, in the course of doing this, I learned that, first off, if what you're doing as service makes you miserable, you're in the wrong ministry. Because when you are in a ministry, it should give you joy to do it. There is nothing better than being fit in the right ministry so that you know that you've been called to do that particular thing. I learned that you have to try several things. That the first thing you do may not be. You may not be a cookie baker. You know, you might be actually called to do something else. Cookie bakers are very important. I'm not putting them down, because that cookie at Curcio really impressed me, along with the other sacrifices that people made so I could go, God, Charlie King watched my son. That was the most enormous sacrifice anybody ever made. And I learned that if you read the Bible, you'll see that there are all sorts of ministries available. Ministries of service within the church and without of the church. The diaconate is supposed to be an outward-looking ministry. Deacons are supposed to, the statement that we use is, we interpret the world to the church and the church to the world. We stand with a foot in each. And my first transfer here was to the Church of the Holy Faith, which is the Bhutanese congregation that meets every Sunday in the Niles building. And I wasn't assigned to a transfiguration. I got to come here and go to church, but I was assigned to the Niles building. And then eventually, when Liz was ready to retire, I was assigned here. I go wherever the bishop sends me. And I go with the bishop wherever he wants to go. I volunteer about 3-4 times a year to travel with the bishop out of town, because the bishop can never be without a deacon. And there are only, I think now, 20 of us in this diocese, in the whole diocese. So that means if he's going to go to Denton, somebody's going to, and I think this one's going to, I think that's me this time, somebody has to go with him to Denton, because Denton doesn't have a deacon. When he comes here, he won't bring anybody, because Shay and I are already here. So your active service will grow out of what your natural talents are. But the really wonderful thing is that if you're called to something that you're not strong in, He will equip you. He will give you the skills and the strength and the heart to do that thing. I love being a deacon. It was a long, hard path getting here. I don't regret one thing that I did. I don't regret one class that I had. Well, most of the classes that I had, I don't regret. But the most wonderful thing for you guys is that you, in your baptismal vows, are going to promise to seek and serve Christ and other people. And you need to be thinking about what it is. What are your strengths? What are your interests? Maybe you want to be part of the shawl ministry and make prayer shawl. Do you know about the shawl ministry? I know you do. I saw you doing it earlier. But the shawl ministry prays over and makes shawl, prayer shawls for people who are not well, and they're delivered to them. Maybe you're really good about talking to God. Well, we have a pastoral care ministry for that. We call it the prayer chain. Maybe your ministry is driving a pickup truck and picking up food and bringing it here once a month to feed the hungry. Maybe your ministry hasn't been named and you're going to have to invent one. And I should warn you, if you come to me and say, Jenny, why don't we have a, my response will be, what a fabulous idea. You're the head of it.
You just scared everybody.
Yeah, I know. Well, we have a ministry now that's called Ministry in Search of a Name. So we don't have a name for it, but it's a ministry of providing presence for people who are shut in. So just go. It's not taking Eucharist. It's not praying with them necessarily. It's just going and being a friend to people who are shut in and can't get out. And we have people who need that ministry. And so we've started the ministry, but we have people, but we don't have a name yet. So if you think of a name of, we want to sit by your side and just visit with you. Roses doesn't work. This is Roses Reconstituted. I was trying to think if there are other ministries. There are many ministries in this church that you can participate with. The Altar Guild hires men and women, and they're training children now. There are going to be kitty lectors. I was a lector for a while, and I love doing that. So you need to be thinking about how you're going to seek and serve Christ in others, because my dad was right about one thing. If you do believe, you will serve. He was wrong about the joy part, but he was right about that. So I'm open for questions.